Well, big events. We're talking big events, aren't we? Looking to see the wood for the trees, being able to get the big picture from Scripture so you can fit the details around it. It's Babel last time. Interesting, I commented how we're not even out of Genesis yet, are we? With all these big events. And if you're here Tuesday evening, Creation Ministries, our friend Philip Bell, and he had Creation Ministries have produced this sort of timeline showing kind of history and where the books of the Bible fit in. If you look at the timeline, well, a huge chunk of it is actually the history covered by the book of Genesis. So the other books of the Bible are much shorter sort of chunks of time, with Genesis about sort of half of history, half of world history is all under Genesis. So no wonder that so many big events are happening in Genesis, because there's so much history and happening that Genesis actually applies to. And it's another big happening, follows after the Tower of Babel. But you have thought, wouldn't you, people would have learnt, we've had a flood, we've had the Tower of Babel, and God judging by confusing the languages of the nations, wake up calls, but no. And God found a world that was still in idolatry, worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars, up to all kinds and every wrong kind of thing. And it was out of that that the next big event happens, right? This is a big, big event. And it's the calling of Abraham. Calling of Abraham. Genesis 12 says, like again, there's a whole makeover and God now begins again to act. Judgments here, judgments there. This really is a great sign of his mercy. A covenant, a promise that he makes, an agreement that he establishes with this one man, who was an idolater. He wasn't any different to anybody else. He was in the same boat, nowhere spiritually, until God called him. God had mercy on him, and through him had mercy on the whole wide world. So from this one man, this man of faith, because he believed God's promise, and God had gave him a very strong command. You've got to leave your country, leave your family, leave everything there, go to a country that I will show you. Of course, that country we know today as Israel. And eventually, and it wasn't immediately, so it was going to happen 400 odd more years later before actually his descendants possessed the land. They lived as strangers there, first of all. But beyond the land that God had promised and a people that God had promised would descend from him, this is happening now. This people, they're going to be special. God's going to deal with them differently. And Abraham is like at the fountainhead of it all, but these people there are also going to be brought into something wonderful as a result. But not only them, everybody, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through what's happening here. Because wrapped up in it all, the ultimate promise, which is the promise of a savior. Promise of a savior. That this is the one. In his seed, all the nations are going to be blessed. We had that a few months ago, didn't we? Because at different times, God repeats and just enlarges a bit and gives a little bit more detail to Abraham about what the future is going to hold. And that he is indeed going to be blessed. Anybody that curses him, they will be cursed. Whoever blesses him, they will be blessed. All the nations. So God is going to just work at this time, especially through the nation that God is going to give to Abraham, even though he's an old man, and married to Sarah, who's already by that stage quite an old woman, but they're going to get a lot older still before the promise of descendants more numerous than the stars above, you can count them, or the sand on the seashore. So God is giving his something very big, a very, very big promise here to Abraham, even though he's quite old, and his wife's quite old. As I say, they're going to get older still. There'll be a real test of their faith before finally the promise is fulfilled. And even there at times, it looks as if that's all going to go into some different way. So this is the big event. Because from it, of course, is going to come the nation of Israel. From it is going to come. It's being established in the land and the laws that they're going to be given as a nation. All of that, all the prophets and what they're going to speak to that nation, and the ups and the downs of that nation and all the difficulties they're going to find. And the object lesson that nation is going to be to all of us. So we're going to be reading now, as it were, the history of this nation seeing good things and seeing an awful lot of bad things and having to learn hard lessons as they learned hard lessons. God's dealings with them, which are like a pattern for us, and God's dealings with us as believers. That's all going to be there. That all starts now. That all follows now. And most particularly, as we've been saying, the promise of a savior, the one to come. Because Abraham could see that and knew that. He understood what it meant to be leaving behind worship of the moon there in Ur the Chaldees and leaving behind his family and his home and all that that represented, idolatry, being now separated from that to follow where God was going to lead him, this Godhood. Revealed himself, a God of glory, as Stephen reports, revealed himself to our father Abraham in Mesopotamia. And he did. This is the God of glory. And Abraham knew that he was being addressed by the highest authority that there is, knew that this was his moment to respond, to leave behind, to repent, to cast away his idols and false gods and go now. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he went out not knowing where he was going, it says in Hebrews 11. And so he did, but now he's a man of faith, isn't he? And he's received promises. God is going to promise to him to forgive and pardon him, to provide for him, to give him a future and a hope. He saw heaven, you see. He saw beyond the land he was going to. He saw heaven because he knew the God of glory is the God of eternity, and salvation isn't just for here and the now. It's not just about places that God may bless us in. It's about heaven. And the promise of glory to come. And he got it all. He saw all of that in that marvelous moment when God spoke to him. All right, he reached so far, didn't he? Got to Haran and tarried there a while, and then God called him on from there, and on he proceeded. This is the big event. And often you find prophets refer back to this. There in the scriptures refers back to this. The New Testament refers back to this. And though we have to be careful how we interpret what happened and what works still today and what doesn't, Christians come to different opinions on some of that, but we're all agreed. In there is the promise of Jesus Christ. This is the nation. This is the family from which he is going to come. This is the family. This will be the nation which is going to be the carrier of the promise, the bearer of the hope of good news. Oh, there we are, coronavirus and carrying that and what that might do. Well, here is the promise that it's going to be a blessing to the nations, not a curse to the nations. Whatever else is going on out there in the world at large, we have still this big, big event that has big implications for us today, still a source of wonder and joy to us. Oh, we were there in Matlock yesterday, telling people good news, all the promise that God made to Abraham, coming true, it is true, the Lord has come. And even the older people trudged along, didn't want to hear it, didn't want to know about it. You think, well, and some of us were mentioning coronavirus and the preaching, and well, there you have it, folks. There's a threat to the body, but I tell you, there's a bigger threat still. It's actually God's judgment upon us. But did they listen? Well, we'll have ears to hear, and ears to hear what are the big events of Scripture. Let's sing our next hymn, 122. Come, let us join our cheerful songs with angels round the throne.